you welcome Bill Winston.
Your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, and we honor you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time that we can celebrate the victory, Lord. All that you have done for us, how you've washed us in your precious blood, how you've redeemed us and set us at your right hand. We thank you for it. Now, Lord, we pray the anointing be full in this place today. That it be upon me in these lips of clay, that I may speak your word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. Now, Lord, think through my mind, speak through my lips, and this word shall come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. We decree it, we declare it, in Jesus' name, somebody shout, amen. Take your seat, please. Oh, they were getting away there. It's all over me. Praise the Lord. Well, let's open our Bibles again to Isaiah chapter 55. Woo! Okay. Flow, okay. I see right now, y'all, somebody got breakfast this morning. Praise the Lord. Okay, amen, all right. Okay, let's see, can we move a little bit further in what we were discussing yesterday, talking about the kingdom, and hold on, let me make sure that my pages don't get away from me here. see how I could do this, okay. I think that'll hold it. All right. I'm going to start reading again, starting at verse 8. Well, my thought. Right. Oh. You know, you better be ready for anything this morning, because my Lord. Okay. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. All right. Praise God. Let's go a step further now. Let me just make sure these pages stay down. so yesterday we were talking and talking about the kingdom and actually shifting our thinking to what I call a kingdom mentality. Shifting it. Now, this goes right along with the blessing, because that is, in fact, what happens with the kingdom. When the kingdom does come, manifesting of the blessing is essential for the kingdom to be manifested. In other words, that the blessing has to be operating in somebody's life. I tell you what, let me just go right into something here, because I want to connect that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 51, please. Isaiah chapter 51. Now, he says here, verse 1, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, and ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye were hewed, and to the hold of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah, unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. There it is. Now look at the next verse. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, I will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Now notice what he's doing here. He blessed him. And this blessing is on our lives, that we can go into a place that is like a wilderness or a barren place. And through the power of the blessing, transform this place into a Garden of Eden. So that same blessing that was on at the beginning is on our lives. And it came through Abraham. And he calls it the blessing of Abraham. But now, as we go on down, look at verse 16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Now, this that we talked about yesterday, we talked about downloading, and actually advancing the kingdom of God or establishing the kingdom of God through the download. Now, what we said here, or what we said before, we said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That God says his thoughts are higher than man's thoughts. Now, he's not saying this, saying that we can't get there. What he's saying is that fallen man had fallen down here in this level and now thinking thoughts that are much beneath what God had planned for us to think at the beginning. So now what has to happen, he's got to get mankind back up to that place. And so as we come into this scripture here, what I said is that a lot of the thinking and things that we take for granted, when they come upon us or when we see things, we think certain things, but those things really are not God's thoughts. They're not the way God is thinking. We're thinking on a much lower plane than God is thinking. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So now what we have to do is we're going to have to change the way we think. And a lot of that is a stronghold. A stronghold is a system of thinking that is contrary to the Word of God. And so this stronghold comes in people's lives and they begin to think a certain way. And what we looked at is an illustration of the golf club. And we said one man was thinking golf club and the other man was thinking golf club. And so what we said now is that as we get in here and start elevating our thinking, we've got to deal with all kinds of things. We've got to deal with how we heard the word, because he said be careful not only what you hear, but how you hear. We've got to even be mindful of our associations. It's interesting how many people come in and get a good word, and then they go back around to those old associates that they associate with. And the next thing you know, the law of association takes over, and they become like the ones around them, start talking again like that, so forth and so on. So we have to understand that we're kind of in a hostile environment, if you will. So it's something that we've got to keep going all the time, go over the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. You're not going to hear it today and don't need to hear it again until next year. You got to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, let's just take another example, because we were about to go into Babylon yesterday. But let's take another example. Let's take an example of this particular a man who did an experiment, and you might have heard of it before, an experiment with a fish called a piranha fish. And that piranha fish is a fish that eats other fishes, but also it's a meat eater. In other words, if you have piranha in a fish tank and you put your hand in that fish tank, if they're hungry, they'll attack your hand. I think they were down in the Amazons, down in South America and so forth, in the water down there. But they will attack it. So they're very violent fish when it comes to that kind of thing. And what happened, this man did an experiment where he actually had piranha in this fish tank along with some other small fish. And when the piranha got hungry, they just eat the small fish. Now, what he did is he took a divider and put a divider in a fish tank. And that plastic divider was a see-through. And he put the piranha on one side and the other fish on the other. And the piranha got hungry. And they went towards the fish, went for the fish. But every time he went for the fish, it would hit this plastic divider. Now, he did that. This is a true experiment. He did that for 1 month, 30 days. And then he took the divider out. And once he did that, now the fish were free to actually go in and eat this fish because he was very hungry. But he went in, they took the divider out, and he just kind of swam around. Now they let it stay like that for a while just to see what this piranha would do. But the piranha would not eat the fish. In fact, some of the fish swam all up on the piranha. Even some almost touched him, rubbing him as they swam in the tank. And the piranha wouldn't eat that fish. Now, why? Because in the piranha's mind, in his thinking, he couldn't get to them. And what had happened is he had been programmed not to be able to get his provision. And when that programming was in effect, no matter what the circumstances were that changed, it did not affect how he saw himself. It did not affect how he saw his circumstances because it's in his mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the same thing happens with the church. We had been programmed in the world for scarcity. We were all just trying to make ends meet. We had some people working two jobs, some five jobs. One man, I remember he came to our church and he talked about he was working five jobs and still lost his wife. The milkman or postman or something. But anyway, but as we look at this thing, I'm saying here that notice whomever the Son sets free is free indeed. So now what God has done because you have come into freedom is that he has taken out the divider. And now you are free. Now understand, you're swimming in the midst of a $1 trillion society. Trillions of dollars. Money everywhere. Yet, folks are still broke. Now, I want you to look at that because I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. I'm saying this is that if we can change your thinking, guaranteed we can change your life. One man said it like this, if I can get you to think like a billionaire, your life has no choice but to produce it. So what I'm saying is how much of this has been programmed into us from a young child? And people still think, now we came in from the world, we were programmed to think that you got to get sick to die. You can't just die without getting sick. And that's a program. We've been programmed to actually have to sweat and toil for our provision. That's a program. You don't have to do that anymore. We've been programmed to do trial and error. That's a program. In the kingdom, there's no such thing as trial and error. We've been programmed in business to say we got a profit and loss. In the kingdom, there is no loss. We've been programmed, and you can just go right on down the line. So I'm just saying, how much of our thinking has been really thinking that has been programmed to us, into us, by a demonic control society? And it's been programmed so that you and I, once we get in the kingdom, won't get to our wealthy place. But I come here to tell you that the days of you being broke are over. And it's time now that we rewrite the script. That we make it so that everything God has planned for your life, you will get it before you leave this life. Praise God. All right. So, now, and that message Jerry preached last night, my goodness, praise God. That thing was powerful. All right. Now, because again, we're rewriting scripts in here. And this is what Jesus came to do. See, he came to bring and introduce a new reality. He came to build a new dynasty. He came to expose a new dimension, something that you and I had never seen before. I mean, we had been taught that time has dominion over us. That's a program. It doesn't have dominion over us. We have dominion over time. And so I'm just saying, as a person thinks, that's the way it works in their life. All right, let's do something now. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1, please. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Now, what we saw here in Daniel chapter 1, we're beginning to go somewhere. We were talking about you were chosen, and once you were chosen out of the world, now God puts you in a church as a member. You are gifted, you are called as a member, and God is training you up. Why? Because he's going to send you back in to the world. And we said you're going back into the world is a plan of God, that the church was not designed to be detached from the world. So now we have got to go back into the world. Why? Because we are the light of the world. And the best place for light is in darkness, where we can come in and be most effective in our lives. So Jesus teaches, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and do what to your Father? Glorify your Father. So we came to represent God. Represent. He's been presented all one time, but he's been presented with the wrong picture. So we got to represent God. We've got to represent him as we go out into this world. Now, as we're going out here, we're going into our different areas of influence. Whatever area you're in politics, you're in media, you're in government, you're in sports, you're in whatever it is, you're going to go into that area. And as you go into that area, God's going to take you in that area and the giftings that he's given to you, and he's going to have you to influence that area. Glory to God. Have mercy. Put something right there, please. I need to go to one more scripture. Go to I'm coming right back. Go to Matthew's gospel, please, and chapter 13. We're going to talk, but I got to set some foundation here. Matthew's gospel, chapter 13. Glory to God. Amen. Matthew's gospel, chapter 13. Are you with me? All right, look what it says here in verse 31. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now notice what this man took. He took a grain of mustard seed. How big is a grain of mustard seed? Very small. If you drop it on the carpet, you could hardly find it. It's that small. He took a person of that much significance, and small in terms of that person's influence and so forth and so on. And he took them and sowed them in the field. What field? The mission field. The mission field is the world. So, which indeed was the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and become a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge on the branches of it. So it grows up to be the most powerful influence in the world. Now, what I said yesterday is what, two things. We've got, what's wrong with the world is the church. That the church has to go into the world and we influence the world. We're coming in there with a different mentality. We're coming in there with a different outlook. We're coming in with a different moral standard. We're coming in with a different principles. We're coming in with a different culture and value system and so forth and so on. So we're coming in with that. Now, as we're coming in, our job is to transform the world, not let the world transform us. So we have got to be steadfast in the Word of God, on the Word of God, walking by faith and not by sight. Now, I gave you an example, and yesterday I said there were three Hebrews. You remember that? And these three Hebrews were a new law was made that they had to bow down to this statue that Nebuchadnezzar had made when the music played. Well, the music played and they wouldn't bow down. Well, the word got back to the king. King said, hey, wait a minute. You know, you boys are doing okay until now. Said, but we got some problems here. We got some issues. And you won't bow down. And they said something. They said, the God that we serve, he would deliver us. And the king then, in rage, heated the fire up seven times hotter than normal. Intimidation. And then the next thing you know, he threw him in there. Now, once he threw them in there, they didn't burn. The king looked in there and said, aren't there three? He said, didn't we throw three men? He said, yeah, I see four, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. But then after that, the king began to change laws or whatever it took so that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be the God. Now, did you follow that? Now, notice how that happened. It happened by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego holding fast to the laws of their government. You remember over in Isaiah chapter 9, he said that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And of his government and of his peace there shall be no end. Now, notice what he's saying. The kingdom of God is not a religion. It is a government. Now, people have tried to make a religion out of it, but it's not a religion. It is a government. And when you're talking about government, I like what Brother Jerry said last night. Because he used the word veto. You don't use the word veto in religion. You don't veto in no religion. Veto comes from government. See, it's a government. And we've got to say, okay, wait a minute. This is a government. Now, you got to change your thinking. Because if you don't change your thinking, stay with religion, you'll stay in denominations. Now, I'm not saying anything against anybody's denomination. What I'm saying is that when God gave it initially to the apostles, he didn't give them my denomination and your denomination. He gave them one kingdom. You got what I'm saying? And I'm saying when you're not operating in that paradigm, you're not going to see the power of the anointing of the blessing come through in its optimum way. That for us to get the power of God, we got to be in the purpose of God. And this is all I'm saying. Now, I'm just saying, appreciate what I'm saying. And I noticed that in our thinking, there's a Hebrew mindset and a Greek mindset. And the Greek mindset divides things. And it's just two different mindsets. They're used for two different things. But a lot of times people are taking one mindset and substituting it for another. For example, in the Greek mindset,
it's more it's things that are being done. There's more. What can I use the word? Praise God. There's more separation in it. Let's say it like this. You come in the church on Sunday, and you know we sing, "This is the day," and praise the Lord. How are you? Praise the Lord. So forth. Now leave church, and things change. That we're not the same person. Somehow we turn back over into Dr. Jekyll or whatever it is. We change. Why? Because church was Sunday, and this is Monday. Got it? Whereas other religions have been making advancement because their book, whatever book they're using, their book becomes their life. In other words, their book governs their relationships. It governs their dress. It governs their money. It governs everything. It governs everything. Folks, I can go to some of these other religions, some of the bigger religions, I'm not going to call any names, some of the bigger religions that are now competing with Christianity. And one of the reasons why is because they haven't separated Sunday. I just say Sunday. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They haven't separated. See, the kingdom is in you. See, and when you go to the job, you still in the kingdom. When you come Sunday, you still in the kingdom. When you go shopping on Saturday, you still in the kingdom. See, you always in the kingdom. And I'm saying this mindset has got to be there. Because now you're going to find yourself transforming things. There's going to be a different level of faith. Praise God. Y'all with me? Amen. All right. Now, so let's go now to, where did I tell you to go before? Daniel. All right, Daniel. Okay. Now, what we said yesterday was sometimes God deliberately plants a person in Babylon. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about the fact that we go there and God puts us there. We know that. All right. But this is one of those cases in the Old Testament where I want you to see that, where God plants it. Lord have mercy. Woo-wee. Ah. All right. So here is Daniel. And here's Daniel and his folk. And Daniel now is being taken captive along with Judah, along with the three Hebrews, and they're all being taken captive. And look what it says here in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning, and knowledge, and understanding and science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, isn't it interesting here? And let me get my notes now. Here is where now God is allowing the children of Israel to go into captivity here in Babylon. And as he's allowing them to do that, they're going into Babylon. Now what has happened is God's people are now in this captivity, and God is going to raise them up, or they're going to have an effect in that captive environment. And one of the things I want to show you is the fact that when he sends us into those environments, we're not being sent in there to curse folk. We're sent in there to be a what? Be a blessing. So let's look at that now, if you will. Now, let me just say something for this. Satan is out to impoverish the church. And when I say impoverish, I mean keep the church from amassing wealth. I remember one time when we had first come, my wife, family, and I had first come to Chicago when we were going to start the ministry, and I'd gone down to ORU and come back and so forth. And here we were, and God told us to go, and by that time we were all out of money. We don't have about $200 to our name. And next thing you know, it took us in. A dear sister said God told her to open her home for us, and she took us in her home and everything. So here we were in her house, and I'm praying, you know, and trying to get God to speak to me and, you know, tell me what to do and so forth and so on. So, as I was doing that, we then got an opening. God opened a door and we went on down and started a church in a little storefront place down on the west side of Chicago at an area called Lake and Pulaski, which was one of the roughest areas in Chicago. Now, I didn't know it at that time. I probably would have not gone if I'd have known that's what it was. But it was rough. So here we are down there. So we needed a little keyboard or something because we didn't have anything. And my wife plays a little bit, you know, a little bit. And see, we're going to put on the keyboards and we both sing. And that would be the praise and worship singers. You follow what I'm saying? And so you know how it is when you're just starting out. Now, I'm talking about, he's sending us in a field, and we have the blessing on us. So now I go in there, and I said, baby, we need to go get us a keyboard. So it wasn't much money coming in. The people who attended didn't have checking accounts. What they had in their pocket, and for the most part. They didn't have checking accounts. And so I said, all right. We got an offering that day, and, you know, we were trying to also pay for that little efficiency apartment we had moved into. How many of you know you don't despise small beginnings? And Job promised that though your beginning be small, your latter end shall what? Shall greatly increase. Amen. Say amen to that. See, that's a promise. I'm not going to leave that on the table. So what happened was we went down to the music store. Well, we got down to the music store, and I said to the guy, we want to get a keyboard. He said, oh, we just got some new ones in. They're by a company named Korg, and if musicians know that name. And it's a nice keyboard, and he said they are demonstrating it right now for this gentleman that's over there. And the gentleman that was over there, obviously, now, I'm not casting dispersions on him, but obviously, he was with a rock group. He had orange hair that stood straight up on his head. He had rings and all that and everything and so forth. But he was over there and they were demonstrating it for him. And that thing sounded like an orchestra. I said, whoa, man, that's what we need. And I said, well, how much is that? He said, oh, that's a few thousand dollars. I said, you got something for about $150? Now, understand, that's the best I had. Say amen to this now. That's the best I had. But I said, well, wow. I said, now, he's with a band. He said, yeah, he's with a rock band. So I said, well, is he buying that? He said, oh, no, he's buying about three of them. I said, whoa. I said, now I'm putting this together. Yeah. I'm saying the rock band got the Korg. And I'm about to take home this $150 something that we can make some music with. Now, just hear what I'm saying now. Because Babylon is out to impoverish the church. Listen, his thing is to keep you working. That's what Jacob did when he worked for Laban. Laban didn't want him to quit because it's the blessing on his life that's bringing it in. And so I said, man, I said, now, the world is getting the best. And God's people are seemingly just getting the leftovers. And I said, now, there's something wrong with this. Are you following what I'm saying? And then I start teaching prosperity. And when I start teaching it, some folk didn't like it. Now, if you broke, you ought to want to hear all the prosperity you can get. But that's my point to you. And intimidation comes. I mean, and one time I went out to a meeting out to Dr. Fred Price's. And I went out there and he taught him some things and so forth. I said, man, I'm going to teach that when I go back home. I went back, came back to the church and I taught that. And a family came in to meet on me. They came in and said, Pastor Winston, you know, you've changed. I said, what you talking about, Doc? He said, well, you know, you didn't quite talk this way before you left. I said, well, I learned something. And I'm just giving you something. Well, we don't feel that we're going the right way with this. Now, I'm feeling intimidated. Next thing I do, I change my message. Went back. Dropped down. But apparently I didn't drop down far enough. They came and met on me again in the office, the whole family. I said, and they said, Pastor, I said, listen, Doc, y'all go where you need to go. I'm going to preach what I need to preach. And I've been preaching it ever since. And they left the church, and when they did, the church exploded. Now, what am I saying? Sometimes we need to, we're trying to keep folk that need to go overboard. And we're trying to hang on to something that's keeping us from the fullness of the blessing that's for our lives. You see, this is what I'm saying. And so what had happened, now that thing spread and, I mean, it grew and so forth and so on. But that was a real lesson to me, this law of association. And you got to watch it because people do try to intimidate you. I see what's happening out there today. They're trying to intimidate the church in terms of money. You know that scripture that God gives power to get wealth? That word really in the Hebrew is not get. It's amass. It's amass. Folks, if you're just making enough to pay your bills, you ain't no threat. Because if you're trying to just take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of somebody else? Say amen to that. God wants you to have abundance. And not only that, he wants you to have it lavishly. I like what Gary said last night. More, God wants you to be a sign and a wonder. You know, I'm telling you, sometimes we back down from this. Now, I'm not talking about trying to do it for the wrong reasons, but I'm saying doing it for the right reasons. Y'all with me? You see what I'm saying? All right, let's go somewhere else. So now Daniel is now being taken captive and he's being put into a Babylonian situation. But God is now going to raise Daniel up because it doesn't matter what situation you've been put into. As God directs you or you've been called to those situations, you end up in those situations. God is going to raise you up. And I want you to look at what happened to Daniel's life. Look at Daniel chapter 1 and look at verse 20 for me real quick. Have you got it? Daniel chapter 1 verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times what? Better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. So, I believe there's a 10 times better anointing, on you right now. As a matter of fact, let's decree that right now. Say, I believe the 10 times better blessing is on my life right now. Wherever I go, the blessing will manifest. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Y'all don't mind going to these scriptures, do you? Amen. Oh, we're going to get our stuff. I said, we're going to get our stuff. And you know, dear pastor friend of mine down in Haiti, do you know what he did? There was this astrologers and sorcerers and so forth. See, in the world, they're in there. They're in there and some of them try to get up. Usually the midnight hour is their hour. And they get up and the full moon is their real active time. and they try to send out curses. See? And now you don't have to be fearful or anything like that, because what God bless, can't no man curse. See? And God, don't let the enemy let you use your mouth to talk against yourself. You know, just say what God said all the time. But this man in Haiti, these witch doctors and so forth, and they use a certain tree, and it's an ugly looking tree. They tell me it's just ugly. And they use a tree as a point of contact to send out curses. Do you know, he went down there, he got tired of it. This kingdom thing rose up inside of him. He went down there and pointed at that tree and cursed it at the root. I'm talking about just like Jesus cursed this other tree. 1 week later, I think that was the timetable. 1 week later, this thing dried up and fell over. And the word got back that he did it, and they arrested him. They brought him in to put him in jail, and he stayed in jail about 3 days until they couldn't find any, what you call it, to hold him on, so they had to let him go, because they found out he didn't touch the tree. He just spoke to it. See, that's what I just read. I have put my words in your mouth that I can plant the heavens. See, anything in this earth that's out of divine alignment with heaven, you can forbid it to operate in this earth. That's what Jerry was talking about. Say amen to this. There was another man, and I won't call his name. He's in Africa, in Nigeria. And the lady comes, and he goes to the radio, to the TV station, because God tells him to come and start his TV program. Well, he goes there to start it, and he said, "I'd like to put my program on the air." She says, "Wait, I'll get the general manager." Got the general manager. She came out. She said, "Yes, can I help you?" Said, "My name is so-and-so. I'd like to put my program, my television program, my ministry on the air." She said, this is what she said, "I'd rather let the devil himself put his television program on there than to let you put yours on." He stepped back. "You are fired." And walked out. Within 7 days, fired. Now, you don't go around firing folk. But she was like Elymas over in Acts 13. She was like this guy that was blocking the door to the governor of hearing the word of God and the word of God going out to the land. And Paul spoke and said, "Blindness will come on you for a season." Boom. And he got blind. I'm just saying, this woman, he said, "You're fired." Now notice, when he said that, his words went forth. Hold on. Let me share something with you. His words went forth. Glory to God. Come on now. I said, come on, praise the Lord. The spirit world takes every word you utter as a command or mandate. In other words, everything in the universe has to adjust itself to accommodate the words you speak. When you release words filled with faith, everything has to adjust. Yesterday when I told you about this man, and they had no food in Samaria, and he came and spoke and said, "Tomorrow about this time it'll be plenty, it'll be cheap." You remember him saying that? Now notice, everything started adjusting. Why? To fulfill his words. That, oh, I'm telling you. Woo-hoo-hoo. Micah. Go to Micah. I'm trying to stay with my notes, but I ain't going to stay with them notes. I got the flow. See, we have been programmed not to believe what we speak. Stop that. That is, I think, one of the foundational principal teachings of Brother Kenneth Hagin. You will have what you say. Amen. And folks, there is some authority that you are carrying here. And as you understand it from a kingdom perspective, I'm telling you, what did I tell you to go? All right, Micah. Look at Micah chapter 4. Have you got it? Verse 9. Now, why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in you? I said, is there no king in you? Now, when I say king, I'm not talking about necessarily a gender. I'm talking about your position in redemption. I'm talking about where God has placed you. Jesus is the king of who? Kings. He is the Lord of who? Lords. I mean, you are royalty. You, when you got born again, you are no longer who you were. You now got put into a royal family, and you are a king. You are royalty. And I'm telling you, as a royal person, a king that doesn't say anything is a weak king. You got to start decreeing some things, the Bible says. And you decree them and they'll come to pass. I'm saying, is there no king in you? Look, put something right there for me. Put something right there for me. And turn to Ecclesiastes. I'm coming right back. Ecclesiastes chapter. Now, don't look at me. Just turn there. Praise God. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, please. We're going to make this thing work. I'm telling you, when Jared preached veto last night, I knew. I said, hey, I'm chopping in some tall cotton here. Praise God. This is my time now. Amen. See, when you're talking about kingdom, you're talking about ambassadors. When you're talking about kingdom, you're talking about citizens. When you're talking about all this changes. And the relationship is the fact that I'm in the kingdom. Now, I've been blessed in that kingdom. How powerful is that blessing? The power in that blessing is power enough to go into any place that's been burnt out, any place that's been ruined, any life that's been turned upside down, and any problem that nobody else can solve, I can solve it. That's what happened in Daniel chapter 2. The next thing that happened is Nebuchadnezzar had a problem. And he said, hey, I dreamed a dream, but what did I dream? He asked his sorceress. He asked the witch doctors and all that. They said, well, tell us what you dreamed. We'll tell you what it meant. He said, I don't know what I dreamed, but you're supposed to know everything, so you tell me what I dreamed. They said, now, nobody can do that. Nobody can tell. He said, listen, if you don't tell me, I'm going to cut you up. I'm going to kill all the wise men. And next thing you know, Daniel went in and Daniel said, go tell the king that I'll tell him what he dreamed. Just give me a night and I'll be back tomorrow and I'll tell him. Now, how did he know that? Because we're connected to the original dreamer. I mean, we are connected with God. I mean, the Holy Ghost knows what everybody dreams. All right, come on. I don't have much time. Let me finish. All right, look what it says here in Micah chapter 4. Have you got it? Verse. What did I say? All right, don't, yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, look at verse 5. There is an evil which I've seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in what kind of place? A low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Now notice what he said. They're in the wrong place. The kings ought to be on the horse, and the slave and the servant ought to be on the ground. But somehow they turned upside down. And notice what verse 1 calls it, evil. There is an evil. Going down to verse 16, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a who? Child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Woe unto thee. See, we, the church, I'm talking about, the enemy has been trying to, he's been trying to dumb down the church. He's been trying to keep us from the supernatural. He's been trying to load us with intellectualism so we won't get off into some other things. And I'm telling you, folks, it's not intellect. It's revelation. You got to get some revelation. There's nothing wrong with going to school, but I'm telling you this: if academics and intellect is all you got, you'll come short of the things that God has called you to do. You got to stay in here and get some of this revelation, because that's when things began to really change in my life. I said, I got to stay in here long enough so that God can speak to me in this thing. And next thing, he spoke to me and he said, I want you to start a Joseph Business School. I ain't never heard of that in my life. I said, Lord, how do you want that to run? Now, he gave me the blueprint. The blueprint's already in heaven. I'm downloading now. He said, I want you to start it. I want you to have a 9-month school, because it takes 9 months to have a baby. I want you to have it so that you instruct so forth and so on, teach business principles and teach them from the Bible, and make it so when the flood does come and economy goes down, that the business schools that are on the principles of the kingdom of God will go up. Man, that sounds just like God to me, didn't it? And then I gave it to some people and who had the MBA and background in our ministry. I said, hey, God telling me to start this school. I said, I'll tell you what, I'd like you to, you and your husband to go away and get some information and come back and tell me how long it'll take you to start the school. Well, they went away. By the time they went away, God spoke to me and said, I want the school started in 2 months. I said, oh, okay, praise the Lord. They came back. I said, Pastor, yeah, we found some information and so forth. We'll be able to get it up in about 9 to 10 months. I said, God told me to tell you it started in two. Two months, Pastor? Now, the intellect's taking over now. 2 months, Pastor? I said, 2 months. What they did is went away. When they went away, all of a sudden, they located a structured program out of Michigan that had some of the elements that they need. I'm just saying, one reference after another came to them. Wow. It's like you almost got to say it before you see it. Am I going too deep here? Is this? All right. Now, where are we now? Ecclesiastes. Let's go back to Micah and let's try to finish up there. Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord. Micah, chapter 4. All right, so look what it says in verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to where? Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine what? Enemies. Look at verse 13. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. For I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. Now, notice what he is saying here. He is saying, I'm going to send you to Babylon. And as you go to Babylon, realize you're going into that nation. But in that nation, I'm going to do something. I'm going to consecrate their gain. I'm going to get you to get the wealth of the sinner in that nation. Now, two things. And I'm going to say these things. Remember, Babylon tries to get the best. Tried to get the best people. He went down to Judah. He tried to get the folks that had all the intelligence, the skills, the crafts, and then he left everybody else, sleeping in church, don't have come, pay the tithe, so forth. He left all of them. So now I'm putting it in today's context. So now God is working. And so God now is going to work with the people who went in there. He's going to come to them and, Lord Jesus, come on, I'm trying to get it out now. He's going to not only work with them that's in there, make them 10 times better, but he's going to come over here to the ones that are left. And he's going to do something with them. Now, how can God do that? Satan has to take the best because he cannot originate. See, he got to take what's there and work with it. God doesn't. God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. God can take a mind that's been blown out with cocaine for 20 years and make them an executive. Now, I told you this story before, but this guy, he was listening to my teaching, and he's in prison. And he came and he got born again in prison in Illinois. And then he came out of prison listening to the tapes. And he got a job mowing lawns for $4.50 an hour. Then he kept listening to him. Got another job making $12.50 an hour working at a manufacturing plant. Would listen to my teaching. I'm not trying to sell tapes now. Listen to my teaching every morning at 6:30 with his Walkman on the train. He came to the church. He said, Pastor, I'd like to testify. Now, I didn't know all of this. I didn't know him. And he said, this is on a Wednesday night. And I said, he said, yeah, Pastor, I got a powerful testimony. Now, you know, you just don't give the mic to anybody in those situations. Duke, don't you know that? He took the mic. I gave it to him. He said, I was in Joliet prison. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, where is he going with this? And he told the story. I began to listen to those tapes. I began so forth and so on. Then he said this. And I got this job and that job. He said, but today I'm making $30,000 a month myself. In my own legal businesses. I've got a seven room home with two Mercedes Benz, a SUV, a Rolls Royce on order. Now the man want a Rolls Royce, don't no hate. Let him have his Rolls Royce if he want a Rolls Royce. Those boats on order, and I got this and this and a jacuzzi. Now, he couldn't pronounce it. But he had one. Now, stay with me now. He said, and I want to let you know I've never learned to read or write. Now, what's your problem?
Come on.
Now, I'll tell you what it is. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. It's all certain in our thinking, folks. It's been programmed. See, he listened to the tapes and got deprogrammed. And because of that, now he can elevate himself, or God would elevate him, up to the level that God wanted him and saw him at the beginning. And he wasn't ashamed of it. He was not ashamed. I said, listen, now we want to get you in the classes in our literacy school. He came one time. He didn't come anymore. I got a call, Pastor so-and-so. And I called him and said, why aren't you coming to the literacy school classes? Oh, Pastor, I want to come, but I'm doing this big restaurant deal. Now, I'm not hating. My point to you is, he said, you know, I got another business Saturday. I said, what kind of business? He's daycare business. I said, how'd you get it? He said, I wait till everybody left the house. Now, listen, folks. Come on, get me. And I went over to the window, and I said, you hear me calling you, daycare center, over on so-and-so, so-and-so, South Lawrence Avenue. Come here. He said, I called in the business, I called in the money for it. I called in the help for it. He called in everything. With his mouth. I'm saying we can go into a part of the earth and rearrange it.
Yeah.
Folks, you come on up. Come on up with me. This, he didn't look back, did he? He didn't look at his record, did he? He didn't look at where he missed it, did he? And so many people are majoring on their past. Get out of there. You are a king. You are royalty. You've been bought with a price. You are redeemed. You are wealthy. You are healthy. Now say so. Your days of lack are over. I said it right now. Your days of lack are over. I said your days of lack are over. You will never be broke another day in your life. This is your day. This is a time for you to turn around. Now, here's what I want to do. We're going to do it in the spirit. You with me? I want you to do something for me. I want you to stand up on your feet. And I want you to do this. Watch me now. The moment you do that, your life just got turned around. It will turn around in the spirit. Give the Lord a praise for it. Give the Lord a praise. Your days of lack are over. God's blessings are coming on you right now. Not only are you blessed, but you're going to be a blessing. There's going to be a time that you'll put $1 million in the offering. And that won't even be a tithe. It's right up here, isn't it? All I got to do is change my mind. God has given you this now. I gave you these stories. If God will do it for them, if you'll do it for me, if you'll do it for the man over in Africa, if he'll do it for the man in Haiti, why won't he do it for you? Is there no king in you? Give the Lord a praise. Thank you very much. Offering, offering. Now, they asked me, I've been asked to receive the offering for this morning. Now, let me ask you something. Whoa, 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 whoa now. Who's in you?
King.
A king is rich. He is not broke. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. Sit down. Prepare your offering. Praise God. Bless the ministry. If you've been blessed, bless the ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. I feel like saying something myself. Don't you feel like decreeing something?
Yeah. Come on.
Well, I'm telling you, that's why I preach for Brother Copeland and them. They have to watch me because I preach all day. I just, something comes over me. Flow. I said flow. Now you think about it. Now stretch yourself. I mean, I'm not saying that this is not a manipulation thing, folks. I'm just saying if you want more from God, then give more. Then stretch yourself. Make yourself. Make your flesh obey. Because there's a king in you. If you need envelopes, raise your hand, please. They have envelopes for you. Praise God in heaven. Now tomorrow, I want to go through the 5 steps of receiving your blessings. The 5 steps that anywhere you are, no matter where you are, you can have your needs met. Makes no difference. Praise God. Yeah, give my blow, please. Oh, Lord. Did I preach too long today? Did I preach too long?
Not long enough.
Man, I'm telling you. See, think about it. All I got to do is adjust my thinking.
Yes, yes.
And everything takes off. See, if you in your spirit think that when you get older in life, you're supposed to come down with arthritis. Do you know your mind will trigger things in your body to make that come to pass?
It's happening here.
And that's why the mind, the enemy wants the mind, folks. The battleground is the mind.
Right.
Is the mind. The fight is knowledge. That's where it comes in. Who's got the knowledge and who doesn't?
Revelation knowledge.
Oh, glory.
Hey!
Who?
Well, I tell you, I'm King BW. And I'm glad about it. I'm from a family of royalty. Man, I'm telling you, I have to think hard when filling out them forms, you know, for insurance and all that. And they said, well, you know, any dis run in your family, any diabetes and so forth. I said, no. Because I'm in another family. Bless you, 100-fold to you. I'm in another family. I don't know about you. I'm claiming the whole thing. I ain't playing with it. Hey, why are you lying? Well, tell Jesus that when he walked in Jairus' house and told him his daughter was asleep. She wasn't dead. If that didn't qualify for a lie, I don't know what did. How can I lie and say what God said? God said I'm healed.
Amen.
God said I'm in a new family. I'm a new creature in Christ. Say amen to that. God said I'm the head, not the tail. I'm the lender, not... See, I'm preaching again. Now, I just can't help it. Now.
Glory!
Let it flow. Okay. All right. Do you have your offerings? Praise God. Okay. Let's lift them up to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving. As we do sow our seed today, we sow our seed, Father, that which you have blessed us with, now we are being a blessing. And you said as we do give, it'll be given back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men shall be give into our bosom. And we thank you, Lord, that we are receiving the 100-fold return. We thank you, Lord, that we're receiving the 1,000 times more in the name of Jesus. Father, we're the head, not the tail, the lenders, not the borrowers. And now we give you praise, call it done in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Y'all better be glad I wasn't prayed up. Man, I get up in the spirit and I just... All right, praise God. I went a little bit over here. Amen, praise the Lord. Thank you, Doc. In Jesus' name, God bless you. It's a pleasure to see you too, darling. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, people see me, you know, they say, oh, I thought you was a lot taller. I say, I am when I'm standing on my father's shoulders. Hallelujah. All right, you need the ushers to come by, just lift up your envelope, they'll come by and get it. Isn't this a blessing that you can come hear the word like this? Isn't it one? Now, yesterday, Sister Gloria talked about something. I'm telling you, I came here and I started kind of almost taking some mental notes. She's talking about, you know, no matter what the circumstances say, you got to say what God says.
Right.
Are you following what I'm saying? So that's for you right now. Once we preach this, then now you got to act on this. You got to say what God said. Folks, I have got cards. I'm flipping through them. I'm talking about daily. I'm meditating them daily. You know, cards about airlines, cards about banking systems, cards about what my net worth is. Cards. I got it. Hey, come on.
Hallelujah.
Don't just come to church on Sunday. You're in the kingdom on Monday. And the kingdom is in you. Did you? Everybody get a chance again? Praise God. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Listen.
Thank you.
I love that story about that landscape, man.
Ooh.
Wee.
That is so inspiring. I'd heard that you preach. I heard you preach that, I guess, at your church or
I
somewhere.
I did, yeah.
Man.
That's a powerful story, isn't it?
It is so true. People look at their natural circumstances.
Absolutely.
You know, people that, you know, preachers, you got to look out there because there's not any natural circumstances, you know. You look to your ministry. People think, well, they get offerings and they do this and they do that and they can make it. But, and people look at their job. That's a mistake. It's not your job that brings the blessing. Now, God can bless your job, but it's not your job that brings the blessing. It's the blessing that brings the blessing. And the blessing could give you a new job. So I think that's awesome to give those examples. I didn't get to hear all of them because I just got here.
God bless you.
Love you, Bill. That was great. Hallelujah. Bill Winston's one of my favorite preachers. Glory to God. You know, I like to invite people to the convention that I want to hear. That, of course, I ask the Lord. He lets us, you know, have the very best. Don't we have the very best speakers? Glory to God. People that build our faith. We're glad you're here, and we're all enjoying preaching to you because you're a great audience. Here's something that I notice about this group up here in Milwaukee. You guys lock in. You know, in a big convention, a big room like this, people mill around. They do all sort of things and in other places. But here, you just sit in your seat, and you take it. And that tells me that you're hungry. And you're serious. But every year I've noticed it this year, and I thought back and I thought, well, that's the way it was last year. When the preaching starts, you jump in the water. I mean, you jump in the flow. You forget about the Cokes and the coffee and all the stuff that's out there in the lobby, and you jump in. I like that. And that's why everybody can go so far in preaching the word to you, because you don't get tired of it. You just take it in. Glory to God. So thank you for being a great people to preach to. Hallelujah. We all love it. Let's just pray and ask the Lord for His help today. Lord, we just love You so much. We're so grateful. We are truly Word people. We love Your Word, Lord. We want to know what's in the Word so that we can do the Word. We don't just love it, but we're doers of it. And we thank You for supernaturally ministering to us by the Spirit. Wherever we are in life, whatever our situation, that You, by the Spirit of God, coming upon the men and women of God, that You will minister life to us, open us up to walk in more of Your presence and more of Your glory and more of Your blessing. We love You with all of our heart. We are good ground for the Word. We hear the Word. We receive the Word. And then we act on the Word. And we give You all the praise and the glory for helping us, Lord, to do that and revealing these things to us so powerfully that we can put them in our lives. Give us utterance today. We honor You today. We thank You, Lord, for every good thing that You have done for us already. We're a happy people. We're a blessed people. In Jesus' name, we love You, Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I want to talk to you some more about walking by faith and implementing. This is really, I talked about this part of it in Fort Worth. We've talked about being good ground for the Word, and that is the key. If you're not good ground, you're not going far because you won't have the Word in your heart. It takes good ground. You hear the Word. You do the Word. You act on the Word. You love the Word. Now, one of the greatest blessings in my life is that I love the Word. It's not something I have to make myself do. Now, I have to make time to do it. But I want to do it. I want to get in the Word because that's what keeps me going. It's what stirs me up. Put the Word in my eyes, in my ears, gets down in my heart. I have revival right there, wherever I am. Right there sitting in my little study every morning. I get new new things from the Word, new force from the Word, new faith from the Word. And that's what really works in life. Now, we're going to talk about faith, and we're going to talk about, you know, kind of we started out, and this is where I've been heading, and we talked about the different things, about how the Word is stolen from us, and we want to be good ground for the Word.
Yes.
We want to hear the Word, do the Word, receive the Word, do the Word. And so we can't be good ground for the Word if we don't put the Word in our ground, right? The Word of God goes in our eyes, in our ears, it gets in our heart. And when it gets in our heart, and when it gets there in abundance, it just sort of becomes the steward of our lives. We do what's in there. And if you're just starting out, you mess up, you flub up, don't worry about it. Just keep going. And we have to, you know, we make mistakes. None of us are perfect. What do we do when we make a mistake? What do we do when we fall short of the glory and we fall short of obeying the Word? We jump right back in the river. We get right back in the Word. We repent and we go right back in the Word. You say, well, I've done that over and over. Well, what the answer is to get full of the Word and keep it that way. Stay full of the Word. So today I want to just talk to you. Let's look at Luke 6. We'll repeat just a little bit. Luke 6, 43. And I'll read it out of the Amplified today, I think. Let me get both my swords out here. Good ground. We want to be good ground for the Word of God. Luke 6, 43. Let's look at it. I'm going to read it in the King James. For Jesus said to us, for every tree is known by its fruit. And he's talking about, of course, people here. He's using trees for an example. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. I mean, whatever's in your heart, that's what you're going to gather. Whatever you put in your heart, if you put stupidity in your heart from the world, that's what's going to come out. The world's crazy. And you're not going far supernaturally following what they say. They don't know anything about sin. They don't know anything about righteousness. They know how to sin, but they don't know how not to sin. So it's whatever is in there is going to come out. A good man, and we were talking about good ground, stony ground, wayside ground, all the kind of ground, and we've covered that. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. We store up whatever we store up from the Word of God. If we are in a mode of salvation and that's all we know how to make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, and we do that, what happens? Well, we get born again, he becomes the Lord of our life. We go to heaven when we leave here. But what about the rest of the time? So you've got to keep planting. You've got to keep sowing what you want. If you want peace, get the peace scriptures. Sow peace scriptures in your eyes and your ears. If you want finances, you sow the finance scriptures in your eyes and ears. Thank God that we can do that. Thank the Lord that he wants us to prosper. Why in the past have people in the church thought that God was against their having anything, they're against their prosperity? Because the Word of God had not been sown in their eyes and their ears, but only tradition. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Who puts treasure in your heart? You do. How? By what you put before your eyes and your ears. That's how things get in your heart. That's how sin gets in your heart. That's how hate gets in your heart. That's how love gets in your heart. How faith gets in your heart. How prosperity gets in your heart. So the deal is, where am I going to put my eyes? Because that is your future, whatever you put there. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Abundance. Now, if you've got poverty in you in abundance, you're going to have to replace it with an abundance of prosperity and blessing. Boy, I tell you, we're getting this on the blessing. Everybody's preaching on the blessing. The blessing is what causes prosperity. And so you're going to have to plant that. You're going to have to dig out those old roots. You could be raised in a family that didn't believe God could do anything, but they believed that Jesus was Lord. So you're going to have to plant some word in there. You could have been raised that way. I was raised in a family that didn't know anything about spiritual things. I remember when I was a little girl and Oral Roberts was on television. I had no idea who Oral Roberts was. And so he was talking about healing. And why I remember this one thing, I don't know, but I remember this one thing. I remember my grandmother saying, "He pays people to say they're healed." You know, I was just a little girl. I thought, wonder what he pays them, $5? See how gullible you are? And you have to dig out that old stuff. Now, they weren't really, where they went to church, they were famous for believing nothing. So I didn't get a lot of bad stuff. I just didn't get anything. But glory to God, I changed. When I grew up, I became a woman of faith from the Word of God. So whatever is planted in there, a lot of times, you know, you have to dig up those old seeds that you've lived, maybe your parents believed and put into you. Just dig them up, throw them out. When you catch yourself saying things that you know are against the Word of God. Now, how are you going to know what's against the Word of God? You got to spend time in it. If you don't spend time in it, and I'm telling you, you can't get it all in a lifetime. I've been studying the Word faithfully for maybe 42 years or so. And I don't have it yet. I have to still get in it daily. I rarely miss a day of the Word. And it keeps talking to me, and I keep seeing new things, and it keeps correcting me and getting me going down the straight line. It's wonderful when God begins to reveal the Word to you, because this is you He's talking about. This is you that He says He'll meet your needs according to His riches in glory. Or that Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. I never get tired of hearing about good things for Gloria. Hallelujah. So I'm never bored with the Word. I think, oh yeah, that's right. You know, you can let things slip too if you don't feed your heart continually. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Glory to God. What we say in abundance, what's in our heart in abundance comes out. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep. That would be us. And laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against it. And the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. We want to be that man whose house could not be shaken. And what was what caused that to be? Because he had the Word. He had the foundation of the Word of God. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built his house upon the rock. And against which the stream did beat vehemently. Both of them experienced a storm. But one man's house was not shaken. But what about this other fellow? And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Glory to God. Which one do we want to be? We live in a crazy, mixed up world. A goofy world. A dangerous world. Oh, I mean, you know, the newspapers and the news are full of dangerous things. Storms. More tornadoes than we've ever heard of before. More storms. Why? Well, we're getting close to the end. But our house can be built upon the rock. And no matter what kind of storms, spiritual storms, natural storms, financial storms come, the man whose house is on the rock is going to weather the storm. Glory to God. So it's our choice and our decision to decide which one we want to be. He is like the man that built his house upon the rock. Glory to God. And then it says here, how far do I want to read? I'm going to go on to the next thing. Psalm 84:11. Look at Psalm 84:11. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. It's talking about me. Because I choose to believe that and follow that. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, you go back to the garden. You go back to Genesis 1:31. Look back there at that. No good thing. Now that says no good thing. When it says no good thing, that means no good thing. No good thing. If it's good, you can have it. Glory to God. If you'll receive it. It's all in our receiving. Genesis 1:31. Well, let me just give you a little, this is kind of Ken's message here, but I just want to remind you some things here in Genesis. God said, look at verse 3. God said, he said, let there be light. God saw the light, and it was good. He said light, he saw light, it was good. That's a picture of the way God does things. God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God made all these things. He said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together. God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters, he called seas. God saw it, and it was good. Now, in this message I don't have too much time to talk about faith, but we are going to, why is it that we don't receive? Because we don't implement. I'm going to give you some words today to help you press into the things that God has provided for you. God made all these things. He inspected it. He said it was good. Everything on the list that God created that day, he inspected it for good. Now, here's what the word good means from the dictionary. Good is means worth, virtue, and merit. We read in Psalm 84, that no good thing will he withhold. No good thing will he withhold. Good is worthy, worth, virtue, merit. Something contributing to health, welfare, and happiness. Advantage, benefit. This comes from the 20th century dictionary, copyrighted from 1904 to 1964. If you'll notice, dictionary words have changed, a lot of them, and they've gone from godly to ungodly words. So I go back to the old dictionaries for the real truth. This, the synonym of good is boon, benefit, advantage, gain, virtue, prosperity, profit, interest, welfare. Everything God made, He gave it the good test. Amen? Plenty of gold in the garden. It was good. Everything was good. And so we want to get that into our thinking. Where God is in control, things are good. Now, in looking at that, I thought this was kind of funny. This has not much to do with my message, but you'll like it. In looking in this old dictionary under good, it said that goodbye is a contraction of God be with you. Isn't that funny? The world is saying that all the time and they don't know it. Amen. It comes from a contraction of God be with you. I thought that was so cool. That was a sneak up on the world right there. They'll say goodbye. They'll even, you know, if somebody's mad and they hang up the phone, they'll say goodbye. They're saying God be with you. So the next time you get a mean call, just say, God be with you too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good. Everything good. God created it good. Now, it is His will. And then He put the curse on Jesus, as we've studied, and so we can have the blessing. Everything in the blessing is good. Everything in the curse is bad. God, from the very beginning, wanted man to walk in the good. He created the earth good. He made Adam and Eve good. He gave them one rule, one thing. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What does that tell me? That tells me He didn't even want them to have to deal with evil. He did not even, He had it set up in such a way that their eyes did not even have to be opened to the devil and all of his junk. They could just live in their paradise, live prosperous, live blessed, have children, go into all the earth, take over the earth, and the devil was nowhere to be seen. And he was there, but he had no power. So then he enticed them to eat of the tree, to do exactly what God said. All Adam and Eve would have had to do to the devil was say, you're a liar. You get out of my garden. He'd have been gone. He had no power. Everything in the whole world and earth had been created good. Now, that's still God's will for His people. And that's why it was His will for Israel. That's why He said, you do these things, you'll be blessed. That's why He sent deliverers to Israel. That's why He sent prophets to Israel. Do these things, you'll be blessed. If you don't do these things, what's left? The curse. There is a curse. But there is a blessing. And we get to choose. What kind of dummy would flunk the blessing test for the curse? Most people don't know it. That's one reason they flunk. But we know it. So everything good. God's plan was everything good. That's His plan for you. Psalm 105, let's look at 100 and verse 5, I should say. 100 verse 5. I love these conventions. They're so full of good news. And everybody that we invite to speak here not only talks it, they live it, they believe it, and they're having it work in their lives. So Psalm 100 verse 5. Let's see what that is. For the Lord is good. Let's look at one. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. The truth did not wear out in 2008. The truth is still functioning. And all we have to do is get on the truth and we'll function right. Amen? Glory to God. So God is a good God. And Jesus bore the curse for us so that the blessing could come upon us. So what's the problem that things don't seem to work? I should say, who's the problem that things don't seem to work? Us. We fail to engage in our faith. We fail to, there's three words, engage, implement, and press that I want to talk to you about. Why things are not working for me. We're not, if it's not working, you're not engaging enough. You're not implementing enough. And you're not pressing enough. I mean, you know, sometimes people come into the body of, get born again, and they have been years messing up their lives. Well, it won't take but an instant to get them right and their heart right. But then they're going to have to get their minds right. Their thinking right. Our thoughts have got to become, God's thoughts have got to become our thoughts, and all those dumb things that we've learned all of our life have got to be overcome and shut out. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I think you could say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so that's what he gets. Because you can be born again, and your thinking in your head is wrong. Your thinking in your heart is right, but your head overcomes your heart because you're still thinking in the natural. And there's just one thing to, only one way to change and get the spirit and the head together. You can't take it off and get another one. You have to renew the one you've got. You have to renew your thinking. Glory to God. And so God's given us an instrument to renew our thinking. If every one of us had to start over again, learning for ourselves what happened in the garden, what God said to Adam and Eve, what He said to Joshua, what He said to Moses, what He said to all the different ones, and even into the New Testament, Paul, Timothy, what He said to all of them, if He had to start over with every one of us, well, we'd leave the earth before we ever got our thinking straight. But God has gone to great lengths to see that we can learn quickly. This Bible was put in print. Blood was shed to put the Word of God in print for us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us to reveal truth and light and revelation. I'm telling you, you can have just as much fun at home, just you and the Spirit of God and your Bible, as you have here listening to the Word of God. Now, this is a way to grow fast because, you know, different ones of us have been living this out for 40 years. We've definitely learned some things that we can share that will speed your time up. But yet, the Spirit of God's present wherever you are. And so, we've got to get our minds, our thinking changed with the Word of God so that the blessing and all the good things God's got for us and the peace can overtake it. Now, you know, Brother Hagin, somebody said to Brother Hagin, you'd say, Brother Hagin would never talk badly about anybody. And somebody said to him, you'd say something good about, I think it was a son-in-law, you'd say something good about the devil. You know, people, sometimes they want you to get in this talk about people with them, and Brother Hagin just wouldn't do it. He said, you'd say something good about the devil. Brother Hagin said, well, he is a persistent cuss. And he was right about that. Satan is a persistent cuss. If he weren't persistent, he couldn't get anywhere. So he has to be dealt with. What is the word the Bible uses? Resisted. When he comes and lies to you and tells you it's not going to work and this and that and the other, God doesn't care, your faith's not working, Kenneth Copeland is a phony, Jerry Savelle's a liar, Jesse Duplantis is just way out there. That's what he gets for coming late to the meeting. And, you've got to have the Word of God. He's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he's good at it. He deceived Adam and Eve. God made everything good, everything was beautiful, everything was wonderful. Just don't touch this one tree. That seems like an easy test to me. But then, that's all they knew was, everything's wonderful, beautiful, marvelous. And then there's this one tree. God said, don't touch it. The devil said, you won't die. See, that's the way he does people. So what's the answer to him? What is, he is a persistent cuss. And he does move and try to destroy. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. What's the answer to that? Well, you've got to be persistent. You've got to be more persistent than the devil's persistent. You've got to get in the Word of God and find out the truth. And if he says, don't do this, don't commit fornication. The world thinks nothing of fornication. I mean, they think it's just a cool way to live. Just sleep around, do whatever you want to. That's what you get from the movies, from television, from the world's voice. But God's got certain things that he says are not right. Now, we don't have to try them out to see if that's true or not. We know what he says is wrong is wrong. And the reason it's wrong is because it brings a curse or trouble or problems into your life. And we know that if he says it's right and blessed and good, if we'll do that, we can live free because the Bible says the truth will make you free. But unbelief and acting on the lies of the devil and following him will bring bondage. Sin will bring bondage. Truth will bring freedom. And we get to choose, hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to talk to you about why sometimes things don't happen because we do not implement our faith. We do not press. What was the other thing we don't do? Engage. I like that word, engage. So let me just give you some definitions here. God's got a master plan. We read that in Ephesians 2:10 about how. God's got a plan for all of us. None of us are left out. You're important as anybody else. Let me just read this to you in the Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by his special favor when you believed. That was his favor that saved you. And you can't take credit for it. It's the gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. We're just to be grateful for our salvation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. I mean, he made us over so we're fit to live this good life, so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I have a little note here to see the Amplified. Let's see what it says in the Amplified. Ephesians 2 in the Amplified. Verse 8, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you're saved and delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. You believe the word, you act on it. And this salvation is not of yourselves, it is not of your own doing, it came not through your own striving, but it is a gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. It's not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. Born, and why did we have to be recreated? Because sin was in us. passed down from Adam and Eve into our natures. You can't be born again with a new creation because man sinned. But you, at birth, I mean, you're not born at birth with, as a new creation. But you can choose to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. We are God's own handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined. Good. Watch for the word good. Predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths that He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. Listen to this and amplify. Living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. So this, when we choose God's path and His way, it's a good life. There's a good life prearranged for us. I like that. Glory to God. I like the good life. I like the blessing. I enjoy the blessing. I've walked in it so long now, I couldn't stand to think about living under that curse again. The blessing. In John, it says Jesus came, that in the Amplified, that we have and enjoy life. That's what it means. That's what that means in the Greek. Have and enjoy life. So I get from that that if I'm not having and enjoying life, I'm not doing it right. And now I know that's true because I have lived where I didn't enjoy life. And now I do enjoy life on the Word of God. God wants us to enjoy life. If life is a drudgery for you, you're missing it somewhere. It's not God's will for you. You're failing to implement. Let me give you the definitions of these action words. Now say we're believing for faith. I mean, believing in faith for something, but it's been a while. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you're believing for something big and it takes a while. Sometimes you believe for something little and it takes a while. But you should just come to grips with this. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to believe the Word. I'm going to say the Word. I'm not going to let go of the Word. I'll not let go of this thing. I'll roll all the care over on You, Lord, of the time. I believe I receive it right now, and I am going to stay in the force of patience until it's changed out there in the world. And then when the devil comes and says, it's not working, you say, you are coming to the wrong place. I am staying in patience. Patience is that force that does not succumb to trial. It does not give out. It does not quit. Hallelujah. It's a force. It's a force. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We know you've got it if you're born again. You may not be walking in it, but it's there. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Love has to be activated. You can be born again, but if you don't know the rules of love and walking in love from the Scripture, you won't automatically walk in love. You'll automatically walk in the way you've been trained in the natural. But once you find out what love is, you begin to know you've got it, you begin to know it's up to you to walk in it, then you can begin to operate in the love of God. And it's that way in every area of our lives. Okay, so we're born again. We know we're believing God, but it seems slow. Well, sometimes it just is slow, but it doesn't necessarily have to be slow all the time. You can speed things up. Depending on what all you're believing for, how many people you have to be moved and cooperate with it. That's all just stuff that's, you know, out there. But we can do these things and we can get it, whether it's short or long, depending on our faith, depending on circumstances that other people do, if other people are involved. Like in healing, there's not anybody else involved in healing, just you and God. In finances, normally it involves other people. Some people are obedient, some people aren't. Circumstances might be, whatever. But you'll get it if you don't quit. And so we release our faith. It's God's will. He's got a plan. He's good. Everything is, with God is good. It's good is no lack, virtue, merit, something contributing to health, welfare, happiness, advantage, benefit. Glory to God. We've got that. We fail in this sometimes. If you're believing for something and you haven't gotten it and you feel that you're not on track, you've got to engage. You've got to implement and you have to press. Now let me give you the meanings of implement. When we say the scripture teaches us to release our faith. How do we do that? With our heart and with our mouth, we say. We receive it, we pray, we receive it from God, and from that time on, okay, Lord, I thank you for my new house. I believe you for this house, Lord. I believe for this house, a house. I believe for the perfect house. Let's say you're just starting out. I believe for the perfect house. I believe I'm asking you for it, Father. I'm asking you for the perfect house. I know that all things belong to me, all the good things you want me to have. I know it's your will for me to do that. I ask you for it. And right now, I believe I receive my house. Now then, what do you do? Well, now you release your faith. We read about that. Mark 11:23 essentially says you can have what you say. Believe you receive it when you pray. Take it. That word means to take it, to receive it. It's an action word. If I'm asking for a house, I'm taking that house right there when I pray. I'm taking it into my heart, into my mind, into my mouth. And from now on, I'm talking like I have it. And I'm saying, I don't ask for it every day. I say, Lord, thank you for my new house. I'm standing on the Word. Meantime, you've got to keep your faith strong by going into the Word. You can't just release your faith and then don't spend time in the Word where faith comes from and expect to have house faith or even healing faith. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now today, I've prayed, I have faith, I'm acting on the Word of God. But I have to maintain my faith. Maybe year after year. How do I do that? Keep feeding on the Word of God. Keep saying with my mouth. Keep implementing. The Word, I looked up implement. And we're talking about releasing our faith and keeping it released. It means to carry into effect. To fulfill, to accomplish. So to implement faith for my house, I have to carry it into effect. Just personally on my house, I just got pictures. I planned it out. I did this. I thought about it year after year after year after year for the house that I really wanted. I had good houses in the meantime, but now I'm believing this is my faith thing. Now I'm believing. I'm implementing. I never did give up on that house. I never did come to a time where I thought, this is never going to happen for me. I don't even remember thinking like that. God provided us good places to live and so on and so on and so on, believing for the right house and to pay cash for it. You got to implement. You got to keep faith going. The longer time goes by, the more expensive houses get. I can't be moved by that. I've got to implement. If I want this house, I've got to stay in faith. If I want this healing, I have to stay in faith. So to carry into effect, fulfill, to accomplish, to provide with the means, this is what the verb is, to provide with the means for carrying into effect or fulfilling, to give practical effort to. So I need to be planning. I need to be talking it. I need to be thinking about it. If it's my healing, I need to be seeing myself well. If I'm taking medicine of some kind, I need to be praying over that. Don't take medicine without praying over it. Medicine is more dangerous than nearly anything you'll run into. Medicine will kill you. You pray over it. If you have to take medicine, you say, Father, I bless this and I sanctify it. In Jesus' name, it will not harm me. I'm not telling you not to take it. I'm telling you to pray over it. And if the Lord says don't take it, then don't take it. But don't take it without sanctifying it, setting it apart, blessing it. I mean, that's not my message, but it's true. To provide with means for carrying into effect or fulfilling, to give practical effort to implement. You've got to implement with your faith, and you have to keep it implemented, keep it moving, or we use the word release. You have to release your faith. You have to keep it released. You have to keep it on the job to keep it working. How do you do the opposite of implementing? You begin to doubt. You begin to take it back. You begin to say, I guess it's not working. It worked for them, but it doesn't work for me. You can't do that. How do you keep your faith strong? You stay in the Word every day.
Yes.
It's good to have, if you're believing for your healing, it's good to have a list of healing scriptures that you go over every day. If you're believing for finances, have a list of finance scriptures you're believing for every day. Put on your list, I've been redeemed from poverty. Poverty is a curse and the blessing is on me. And I'm prospering. You have a good confession of faith every day. Amen. And so, that's just the way you implement. That's part of implementing the Word. You get the scriptures where God promises you these things. And then you take that every day you go over those scriptures. I remember Dodie when she got cancer. Dodie Osteen Joels. She used to be John's wife. Now she's Joel's mother. But at any rate, Dodie is a great person. I've forgotten. I won't tell you how old she is. But anyway, she's older than she looks. And she's just great. She's just a great person. Well, she got cancer, and it may have been 25 or 30 years ago. I don't know. It's been a long time ago she got cancer. And she was in the hospital. And the doctor told her she's got cancer and there's nothing we can do. So John and Dodie said, well, why are we here? Let's just go home. So they left the hospital and went home. She got her a list, and we've probably got her little book out there, and you can write the Osteen Ministry and get it if you don't have it. But she got her a list of scriptures. And she went over those healing scriptures every day. I believe she did it twice a day, but I'm not positive about that, but it seems to me she did it twice a day. She had a list of healing scriptures that she went over every day. Every day, every day, every day. Say every day. Every day. Now, this is not a new house. This is a matter of life and death. She went over it every day, every day, every day. There came a day when there was no cancer. No cancer. No cancer. No cancer. It didn't come from medical treatment. I'm not knocking that, but it didn't come from that. It came from the Word of God, applying the Word of God, implementing the Word of God against a certain target. Dodie is well over, she's over 70 because I know I remember when we went to her 70th birthday party in New York City and we had a great time. I can't tell she's changed since then. She just does great. She lives by herself. She has her own place. John's been in heaven for years and years. But Dodie, you know what? She's still doing her healing scriptures.
Amen.
It's going to be interesting to see how long that woman lives. You know, hey, she may go to 120, which is good. That's scriptural. But every day, she still does those healing scriptures. I did house scriptures. I wasn't sick. I wanted a house. I did house scriptures every day. I remember making my little list. Kelly was probably in the first grade or so when I started. John was just a little boy. I remember where we were, where we lived. And I remember, and I still have this piece of yellow paper, now yellow, and I had it all folded up, and I went over my scriptures every day. Prosperity scriptures and house scriptures every day, every day, every day. Well, I want you to know I'm in my house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And to God be the glory. But that's the way, that's an example of implementing. Implementing this faith project. Keeping your faith moving against a certain thing. Implement means to carry into effect, to fulfill, to accomplish. Glory to God. Implement. It means the noun implement, like a plow. The noun implement, definition for that says it comes from the Latin word to fill up in or to fill. To fill up, to implement. And it means something used as needed in a given activity. Well, but this, our implement in the Spirit, is faith. Faith is implemented by words. You release faith out your mouth by words. You get faith in your ears, in your heart, by putting the Word of God in your ears and in your heart. But then you release your faith out your mouth. And what we want to do in the natural, and I don't feel like it's totally in the natural. I think we have a lot of help from the dark side, the devil. We want to talk about the problem. We want to say it's not working. We want to tell everybody we meet, I'm hurting. You don't know how bad you don't know how bad I feel. I'm telling you, I just feel so bad. I'm hurting. Telephone rings, some new person's online. I'm telling you, this is the worst day I ever had. I just feel so bad. No. Even if you need help from your husband or your wife, you wake up some morning, you feel bad, you got a good husband or a good wife that will agree with you in faith, don't say I'm sick. Don't say I'm hurting all over. Don't say I'm miserable. Don't say just shoot me. What do you say? I want you to agree with me. I am healed. That's the way you live by faith. You implement with your words, and then you get him to agree with you or her to agree with you and believe God with you, and you act on healing scriptures. Well, you still don't feel good. What do? You keep implementing. You implement. The Word of God is our plow. The noun of implement is like a plow, a tool that you work with, an instrument or tool or vessel as implements of a trade. The Word and faith is our tool. We implement what we want to come to pass with our words backed up by faith. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's more than just words. Words are very important because that's how you actually get it out there. But they have to come out of a heart. A faith, they have to have the Word in there to have faith. So it's not just positive confession. Positive confession is good, but it doesn't have any power to it without the Word in there. So it's the Word coming out your mouth, backed up by the Word that you put in your eyes and your ears and in your heart. That is the way you implement. Glory to God. So our faith tool is our words. The faith comes by hearing words of faith. Gets in our eyes, in our ears. It gets down in our heart. Out of the midst of our heart, we speak words of faith. We release our faith. That's the way God created the world. He said, let there be. And there was. And it was good. We can see without a doubt the will of God in Genesis 1. God did his work. He did his work. He said it. He did this. He said it. He did this. And then he looked at it and he said, it's good. Glory to God. Why did he make it good? Because he's good. It came out of him. He's good. Hallelujah. So when we get good down on the inside of us from the being born again, filled with the Spirit, the Word of God, we can implement. Okay, so we implement. We carry it into effect. Something used or needed as an activity, like an instrument. The Word of God is our instrument to implement, as the plow is the instrument to till the ground. Now, the other word is press. Let's see, I'll do that last. I'll do press. Press the kingdom of God. Let's look up that kingdom of God scripture if I can find it here on my notes. The kingdom of God is preached. I think that's Luke 16:16. You don't have to look it up. But the kingdom of God is preached, Jesus said, and every man presses into it. The kingdom of God, the dominion of God, where God has dominion in the earth. Kingdom is from dominion, the word. What a king has dominion over a kingdom. So God has dominion over the earth. He gives us dominion over the earth. We're like the king of our lives, the king and the queen of our lives. That's us. We release our faith. We put it out our mouth. We say to the mountain, we believe we receive when we pray. And then we say and we say and we say and we say and we say until that mountain is gone. It's gone. It's gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody can do this if you'll give it time and put the word in there. So to press, kingdom of God's preached. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. And every man, it's up to every man and every woman then to receive that kingdom, to act on the word, to say the word, to press into that place. If you want to prosper financially, you begin to say what God says in His Word about the situation. You take it personally. You say, God meets my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You begin to speak words of prosperity. That's what I did. I didn't know much back in those days, but I had learned that the Word works. And so I went through prosperity scriptures. I went through house scriptures. Now, that was our biggest problem. No money. And so, it began to work. We began to prosper. Things began to move. We didn't start out with our final home, the first home we got, but it was a big improvement over what we had. We were happy there. We just had a good time in that little house. That was back in the days of gold and avocado. That was the colors everybody was using, gold and green. Sounds awful, doesn't it? And anyway, but we liked it. And so then we kept pressing. Then we got another house, a better house. I think our first house, I think Ken was talking about this the other day, it seems to me like it was around $20,000 that his dad bought and leased to us. We enjoyed that house. And then we moved up. So I just kept believing God. Kept pressing. And also, you know, we were believing for finances. I had financial scriptures. And we just kept going over those scriptures, believing God, letting God. What were we doing? We were implementing the Word with our faith. We were implementing God's Word with the words of our mouth. We were coming into agreement with what God said in His words and in His word, and we were saying those words, and God brought it to pass. So we were implementing. Now, in another word, press. Every man presses into the kingdom of God. What is the definition for press? Let's see if I have it here. Nope, that's engage. I've got implement. I should have press. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. Press. Every man presses. You put here's what it is. You put pressure on the kingdom of darkness, on the kingdom of God. You put pressure. You're not pressuring God, but you're taking the things of the kingdom of God. You're putting them in your eyes, in your heart, and you're putting them out your mouth. And you're pressuring the darkness to move back. But you're also opening the door for heaven to move in. Because now we know that if we want to walk in the blessing, the thing that's necessary is obedience. And that's one thing that we can learn that's a solid fact all the way through the Bible. The blessing is the door to the blessing is open by our obedience and our faith. Living the good life in the Lord means that you're walking in good. You know, you're not going to get far in spiritual things if you're living in sin. That may not be a popular subject, but it's just the truth. The blessing is for the obedient. It doesn't say anything about the disobedient being blessed. You can't put one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the things of the world that are wrong and expect the blessing to take hold. The blessing comes as we serve God, as we obey God. Whatever the Lord tells us to do, that's where the blessing is. You may know something that God wants you to do, but you're afraid to go do it. Well, the blessing's where He says go. You're holding back for something else just because you can't see how to do it. We didn't see how to go in the ministry. We had no money. But you know, here's what you do. You put your foot in the water, and the water departs. And whatever it is, you put that other foot in the water, and the water departs. And you just stay in the water or where the water was, and it'll keep going, and the blessing will begin to work for you. The blessing is just fabulous. It is just wonderful. It is anything you can believe it is. Good. It's anything good you can believe it is. So we press into that place. What does that mean? We put pressure on ourselves to walk in faith, to walk in the Word. We put pressure on circumstances. You get out of the way. We talk to things. Faith talks to things. What do we do where the devil's concerned? Do we just float through life? No. We resist him. He's a liar. When you hear words that says you're going to die, you're not going to get your healing, you're not going to have this, you're not going to do that, this is not working. I'm telling you, all he's got is lies. That's why he's so good at it, because he lies all the time. What does he do when he lies? He says to you, God's not listening. God's not going to do that. You're not worthy. You're just this. You're just that. You're not going to get it. Well, if you're not worthy, get worthy. If you've got sin in your life, get rid of it and don't give him any place to accuse you. In Jesus' name. We have to press past his deception, his lies, the newspaper, every voice out there. Oh, what about all the newspaper that's calling for recession and here's something I've learned about the news media. If you're in the news media, well, I hope you're not this way, but I've found out personally that they don't give a hoot whether they're telling the truth or not. I know that from experience. You cannot believe everything you read in the newspaper. And even if the newspaper says a recession's coming, bad news is coming, bad financial situation is on us, we're not operating in the kingdom of the world. We are not in the dark with the world. We are operating out of another kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. Where God has dominion. Where God has the blessing in force for every person that'll come into it. We don't have to go through recession. We don't have to go through depression, financial depression. We're tithers. If you're not a tither, you may have to go through it. Well, I only got a few little clap up here. That's the truth. If you're not tithing, hallelujah, we got tithers here. Ken and I never did anything financially until we started tithing. And when we started tithing, we thought we needed every dollar of that little dab that it took to tithe. But we found out it was the right thing to do. We found out this is the way the kingdom of heaven operates. Get God, take him on as a partner in your life, in your money. We found out about the blessing of the tither, and besides that, it was just the right thing to do. And it was just a little dab, but we only had a little dab. And it took some faith to start tithing. But I'm telling you, I'm convinced this. I'm just convinced of this. We tithe in the ministry tithes, we personally tithe. But I am convinced of this, that if you want to walk in prosperity, you're going to have to honor God with what you have. What is tithing? Tithing's taking out that 10%, setting it apart for God. You study the scriptures on it, and then He'll bless what's left. I mean, it'd be fair if He said, okay, you keep 10% and I'll take 90 and I'll bless you. But no, what is He doing? You know, God's not broke. They don't have a recession in heaven. He's not looking for, He's really doing all right. So why does He tell us to tithe? Because He wants to have part of our financial life. So that He can what? Bless us. Glory to God. In other words, it's a way of honoring God with our finances. And it's a big step when you don't have much money to begin to tithe. And you think, well, I can't afford to tithe. Are you kidding me? That's your problem now. You can't afford not to tithe. What do? You take the first and the best. You go with your tithe before the Lord and you worship Him and you thank Him that you have that. Thank Him for everything you have, and you act on the scriptures about the blessing and the tither, and you begin to expect. You begin to expect the blessing. So I want to encourage you. You say, well, I don't think you have to do that. I don't think you have to do that either. I don't even think you have to be blessed, but I tell you, I would recommend it. I recommend tithing, and I recommend the blessing. I've lived without it, and I've lived with it now for a lot of years. Hallelujah. So, be bold. Implement. Press. Push into that place that God has for you. Don't be a lazy Christian. Don't fail to spend time in the Word. Put your words in order. Jesus says we can have what we say. He would not lie about it. So what do? Most of the time, if you haven't already taken a step, you're saying what you have over and over and over. We'll never get out of debt. We can't get these bills paid. I don't know what we do, what we're going to do. The recession's coming. People are losing jobs, and we're probably going to lose our job here. The plant's closing down. If something's closing down around you, expect a promotion. Expect a blessing. Say, Lord, I don't know. I thought this was where I was supposed to be, but this door is closed. I want you to know I'm not moved by it. I believe I'll increase because of this. I'm asking you to show me where to go. What have you got for me now? Show me where to go. What job? What promotion, Lord, do you have for me? I am a tither. I am blessed. Whatever happens out here in this world, I'm blessed. Glory to God. See, that's pressing. When problems come, you can't give up. You can't just lie down in front of the car and let it run over you. No, you press. You get on the Word. If threats come, like financial situations, people have lost their jobs around the country, and people have cut back and that and the other. Doesn't have anything to do with you and me. We're not operating out of the kingdom of the world. We're operating out of the kingdom of heaven. We're tithers. We're blessed. We serve God and God blesses us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You cannot listen to the news media. You can listen to them, but you can't believe them. Because they don't know what you know. They don't know about the blessing that comes from heaven. And so they just look at strictly the numbers. And sometimes they just lie. But they just sometimes just look at the numbers, see what the economists are saying, see what the people are saying, and then they say that. And the more, I'm telling you this, I know this for a fact. I've learned this dealing with press. Good news does not sell. You know, if it doesn't make sense, there's money behind it. Good news does not sell. Tragedy news sells. Scary news sells. Good news, people don't pay any attention to. And so it's just a business. We can't really blame them. They're wrong, but it's their choice. It's a business. Bad news sells. They have to have bad news. It wouldn't sell newspapers if they wrote an article about Kenneth Copeland and all the good things he does. And people say, that's nothing. But you put a little thing in there and you make it look like he's stealing money or something. They sell newspapers. That's just the way it is. So when you read the newspaper, you have to remember that. If there's a reporter here, lying is wrong. I don't care. One of the Ten Commandments. You do not lie, even to sell newspapers. Well, if you're here and you think, well, what am I going to do for a living? Well, do something else. Because the blessing's not going to be on you if you're lying.
All right, come on.
All right. I've found a friendly audience here. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So what we have to do, if we're believing in faith, we have to implement. We have to press. And here's maybe my favorite description. We have to engage. If you should know about faith. If you don't know how faith works, everybody out there on the tables have tapes and books about how to walk with faith. The other word is engage. Maybe if things aren't happening, sometimes it just takes a while to get things all lined up. But it could be, if you're not getting results, particularly in something like healing where nobody else is involved but just you and God. Everything works, finances work, but it does involve other people, and sometimes that takes longer. But if you feel you're not getting results, it could be that you're not engaging enough. You're not pressing into it. The kingdom of God's preached. Every man presses, puts pressure on the things in the world and our confession and our lives to do the right thing, to walk before God. Every man presses, and every man should be implementing. And then the final one is engage. Perhaps you're failing to engage in this faith project like you should. I've already talked about Dodie and her healing scriptures. That's the way you engage. And another way you engage is you talk to the Lord every day. Don't just depend on your wife or your husband to do the praying. If you want to enjoy the good life, you engage in time in the Word and in prayer. Talk to the Lord. Engage with your mouth. Faith is implemented by the mouth. Jesus said, you can have what you say. But most people say what they have. And it's a temptation. When you hurt, you want to tell somebody, I hurt. First person you see that day, you want to say, you don't know how bad I'm hurting. Well, I'm sorry you're hurting, but that's not the way to get healed. You ought to be saying, you ought to be implementing, engaging in the Word, and saying, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Sickness, disease, I rebuke you. You get off of me. Pain, you go now. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. That's engaging. You ought to be saying, if it's problems with your finances, I rebuke you like you are under the curse. You're not coming on my family. You're not coming in this house. I rebuke you like you go in the name of Jesus. Satan, you go. You spirit of poverty, you're under the curse. I rebuke you. Now that's engaging. Where do we get that term engage? Well, what I'll if you're going to get married, you engage that woman you want to marry. What does that mean? Well, she's mine. She's engaged. He's mine. He's engaged. That's one way we use it. Ken, in flying the airplane, on their checklist, they say autopilot. Captain says autopilot. The co-captain says engaged. What does that mean? The autopilot's turned on now. It's flying the airplane. Engaged. What about military? How do they use the term engage? That's what they use, the term they use when they engage in a battle. When they engage the enemy, what does that mean? That means we're going to have a fight. And we're going to win. What does it mean when we engage? That means we're going to have a faith fight. And we're going to win. And we're not going to quit until we win. It's not over till it's over. We're not going to quit. We're not going to stop our confession. We're not going to add unbelief to our confession. Well, maybe it's not working. I don't think it's working this time. Oh, honey, hadn't it been a long time since we've been believing for this? Do you really think it's going to work? You are not engaging. You are not pressing. You are not implementing faith. And you know what? You're not going to get it. You might get it in the natural, but you won't get it by faith. Faith has to be implemented. You have to engage to win a war. You have to engage with your faith to win a financial war, a healing war. Satan's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But God, the Word says Jesus came that we might have life and that we might enjoy life in Amplified and that we might have it in abundance. Not just barely getting by. Not just barely making it financially. Not just healed of most things. No. God meets my needs according to His riches and glory. That means like I was already there. God meets my needs. I'm engaged. I'm going to stay engaged. I'm not going to let any devil talk me out of it. I'm healed. I'm going to live a long life. I'm going to live a strong life. I'm going to stay active all the days of my life. I'm keeping a sound mind, a strong mind. I don't want somebody to have to lead me around. I'm putting pressure on to keep a strong mind. I'm going to remember things. I'm going to remember events and numbers and sermons and scriptures and names. Don't start talking old. We're not of the world. We live down here, but we're of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I guess I better quit preaching and let you go to eat. Glory to God. So are you going to implement? Are you going to press? Are you going to engage? Are you going to give up? No. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for victory.
That was wonderful.
Victory, victory.
Wonderful,
I love
wonderful,
victory.
Wonderful. Hallelujah.
Go ahead.